Hey, everybody, and this is Games and Graphics. Batman.
Ghostface Killer.
And Romag. Oh, yeah.
Sitting here again with our buddy Stu Perrins. That's at Stu Perrins on Twitter. And then you can find all his comics at Insane Comics, WP Comics, and
Drive-Through
Comics. But all right, so how's everybody doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourselves? You okay?
I'm doing better now. I just got off work, so that's always good.
It's always good. It's never a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
One step away from the asylum, that's what I always say.
Stu, the first thing I would like to know is, when can we get Prime Issue 4? When can we expect that?
Oh, I'm sort of working on it. I know where it's going. I mean, I've known where it's going since before the first issue, but it's kind of, I must have rewritten it now at least 20 times and go back to it. I'm sort of at a place where I'm quite happy with the script so far, so. I'm just kind of making a few tweaks and things, but I think within the next couple of months, I'm hoping it's going to be into the big bad world, and I'm hoping the ending is going to be people won't be. I don't think anybody will see the ending coming.
Good.
So, yeah,
that's what I like. I like to see endings that make me kind of say, "Oh shit." You know, I didn't see that coming. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm not giving anything away, but when I finally get around to getting out there, and you finally get to read it, if you don't think, oh shit, at the end of this, man, you haven't got a heart. The real sort of I'm not gonna. I don't want to give anything away, but it's just a bit of a, I don't want to say twist, because I think I've given hints to how things end up all since probably the first page of the first issue. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a few before the summer, hopefully. But yeah, it's sort of, we want to get it right, you know, and we want to get it just perfect. We're done a kind of, because people have been really supportive of it and really nice about it, said some great things about it. So I just want to give people the ending it sort of deserves, you know.
Yeah. I know Ghost here has been salivating for it for months.
I know, man. Prime is probably without a doubt one of my favorite things that you put out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it was like, the other day, when I talked to you here lately, it's been like you're a machine. You've put out so much stuff lately that it boggles my mind. I'm having a hard enough time in my spare time just getting through one script, much less, what, five that you've put out, it seems like, in the last, what, 6 months?
Well, it was crazy because it was like Archetype 2, and then it was Human Zoo Archetype 3. I'm like, good Lord!
Yeah, the first three archetypes have been out in Human Zoo, and it's probably about five or six things in that sort of 6 months. But I'd kind of like being able to sort of flit and cut between different ideas, because if I'm getting too sort of, if I hit a brick wall with something, then there's always another project to sort of work on. So I mean, at the moment, as well as finishing up Prime and all the stuff, you know, people may know me from, there's like another four projects I'm working on. As well as I've got some strips coming in anthologies and stuff. So I'm always kind of working on things. So, I mean, sometimes I sit back and sort of look, Jesus Christ, fucking stop. Take a breath.
It's going to be like, man, where do you find the time? Do you actually schedule time in your day to work on stuff? Or?
Yes and no. I mean, I've got sort of, I mean, I've got two small kids, so our eldest one is at school and our youngest is at home. So when he takes a nap and stuff of a morning for an hour or two, I get some stuff done then, I get some stuff done of an evening. But that said, I'm kind of, in a sense, I'm always working on it, working on ideas and stuff, and I'm always kind of jotting stuff down. And I think so it's kind of, although I do sort of try and schedule time to work on things, it's always there. So by the time I do get to sit down, I've got it's already written. If I don't know if that makes sense, but I mean, it goes without saying, I love doing it, and it's a passion of mine. So it's not like it's hard work in a sense. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it just flies out of me or anything like that, but it's just kind of, I do, because I enjoy doing it. It's not a issue. And I'm lucky enough that my partner's, she's very extremely supportive of it and stuff. So it's not like she stood there when I'm working, poking me in the shoulder saying, when are you going to look at me or anything like that?
makes a big difference too. If you got the support around you, to be able to do it, and that understands, you know, hey, this is something that's kind of a passion of yours and I'm going to support it. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, she's great with stuff, and kind of, when I've had tables at conventions and stuff, she's kind of been there with me and things. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's kind of, that does help you, right? Sometimes I'll kind of tell her ideas for stuff, and she looks at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? What am I living with? She's great, yeah.
Speaking of conventions, we were wondering how your convention experiences have been here lately.
I prefer sort of smaller scale ones, because I think there's a bit more sort of, I think anyway, passion behind it. Whereas, I don't know if you got the same issues over there, but a lot of the bigger comic cons in the UK just turn. I went to one in particular a couple of years ago. I went to, and it was this big, massive thing and comic con, and there was like maybe a dozen comic based stalls. Everything else was like stuff like jewelry. I don't get, okay, fair enough. But it just seems a bit,
Yeah, it seems a little more like what we call a bazaar over here, as opposed to an actual Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I particularly chose to do the ones that kind of concentrate on comics and kind of small press ones, because I think there's a lot more passion to it, and I think more people who come to it obviously know what's there, so they're more willing to sort of take a punt on trying new stuff. Whereas if you go to the bigger ones where it's the emphasis, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing, but the emphasis is on cosplay, then kind of small press people like myself don't really get much of a look in, which is why I sort of focus on the smaller cons.
Yeah.
I had another quick question while we were talking about Prime. No.
Shut the hell up. It's my turn to ask a question.
I'm asking about Prime.
I'm asking about DAC, by God.
Well, let me get Prime done, and then you can have DAC. How about that?
All right.
No, for real, though. With Prime being done after issue 4, I know one issue with doing this would be the money, but have you considered maybe at some point doing a trade?
Yeah, that's going to happen. Definitely, yeah.
Sweet.
Me and Israel have already discussed it sort of way back, and the plan is to just put the 4 issues together and have some sort of like a sketchbook thing and some nice little add-ons, and that's the plan. Yeah, we've always sort of, since before the first one came out, we said when they're all out, it'd be cool to put it all together. And definitely, it's going to happen.
Sweet. Looking forward to that.
Yeah,
definitely yeah. Looking forward to that. And then I'm looking forward to wondering when old DA... wonder what's when old DAC2 is going to come out.
Oh, your guess is as good as mine. The whole series is written and with the editor, so I don't know. I have asked, this is going to turn into another rant, but I have I've asked him a number of times, and I'm not really getting any sort of solid answers. So that I wish I could tell you. Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
That's why you should use. That's why you should use a more reliable editor like me.
That's Romag. Right, Romag. His services can be acquired at $9.95.
At least my favorite survived.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yours continues, and then, like, DAZ.
At one point, we're like, you know how cool that would be for Harvey Spig to show up in DAC?
It would be awesome to see Harvey Spig with DAC. If But it's not going to happen.
Interview.
Okay.
As Batman put it, the baddest man on the planet showing up for DAC.
That's right. No, I said the baddest man in the universe, basically. You can't beat that man. But
Archetype. Let's talk about Archetype.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to move along to. But yeah, barring the fact that apparently we're not gonna see any more DAC until the editor finally gets on his butt. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm hoping, but you know, I can't. Sort of forcing to, you know, I don't know, but yeah,
I don't know. You're not going to show up with a cat, you know, a whip and be like, whoosh, right, make this happen.
Yeah. Although maybe you need to.
Well, you could light a fire under his ass with that whip.
I mean, the original plan was for it to be a monthly thing, but I don't know. I don't know what happened.
You weren't acquiring the services of Roman. Sorry, yeah. 95.
You said, now WP puts that out, correct?
I think so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're WP, and then whatever happened to the archetype's insane.
Insane, yeah. And that's, I tell you what, it was really nice, or it's been really nice, and I haven't had a chance to go and pick up the third issue yet because life has just been so ridiculously crazy, but... It's been really, really nice to be able to go and pick up a hard copy of your work.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And be able to, you know, hold it in my hand and flip through it and read it. And I mean, it's just a whole different experience, you know, than getting to see it digitally. And I mean, it's not that I have an issue with digital comics because, I mean, it's a way to get stuff, especially that's made over there that we don't have access to. But it is, it's just, yeah. God, we've talked about it many times. It's a lot nicer experience to actually be able to pick it up and hold it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been sweet.
I'd agree with you, yeah. I mean, James from Insane, he's about 12 months he's been doing it, and what he's achieved in those 12 months is amazing, really. I think there's 18 titles in total, and is. He's got a lot of plans, and there's some crazy big stuff he's working on within Insane. So, yeah, I mean, it's in a bunch of stores and stuff, and that's great. He's just a really nice fella, and he's really passionate about getting books into stores and taking stuff to conventions and getting people talking about it. So it's really nice to sort of work with somebody who's sort of that passionate about your ideas and your stories and stuff. I'm definitely be, well, I would hope I'll be working with him again because he's the kind of person, when you're trying to put some stuff out, he's the kind of person that you want in your corner, you know?
Yeah.
Because he works tirelessly, really. Really, really nice fella. Yeah, you should get him on, actually.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Actually be awesome.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, maybe I could pitch mine to him while we were at it.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, do it.
There's actually an artist.
We need to have on.
What's that?
So do you need an artist?
No, I have an artist.
Oh, you have an artist?
Oh, yeah.
He's already got that worked out.
That's right.
Now, excluding Romag's pitch, you know, we'll move that along.
Well, What's that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, Romag pitching. He's like, Stu, so what about my comic book idea? I'm trying to entice you by mentioning.
No, what I was gonna bring up is one of the hardest things that I've actually dealt with when writing this is not knowing what the hell I'm doing, but B is not telling people the ending, because I'm so excited about how the ending works, and I'm not gonna lie, I told one person, and they were like, holy crap, that's freaking awesome, which was nice. I mean, that's a good ego stroke, but I mean, I don't know how you write so many stories, and you have to be excited about the storyline, and you just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, it's kind of, in all seriousness, the only person I tell any kind of twist endings to is, our 2-year-old son, because he doesn't know the fuck I'm talking about anyway. So I could trust him to kind of keep his mouth shut. I know what you mean. You kind of got, you sort of, so I've got this fantastic idea and it's going to end, you know, and you want people to know about it, but, you know, it's kind of nice to kind of let people find out for themselves. I know what you mean, though. I have told people the endings and stuff, and yeah, it's nice. But I just kind of want to, I do like having a massive sort of rug pull at the end of something.
Yeah.
Just to make people go, what the fuck? Where's this come from? You know, and stuff like that. But yeah, but it is difficult, but to kind of keep my mouth shut, these endings and stuff. But it's kind of, I think in the, with stuff like that, you just got to play the long game, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of twist endings, talk about some Human Zoo. Yeah? What about the twist endings on those, man? The ending on that first story?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. That was so funny. Like,
it was literally good.
Yeah, and like we said in the review, I was like, man, both stories made you do that double take. And when you can make and the fact that they both did that was awesome. Because it, like, literally both times you'd have to go back and go, okay, did this really just happen?
The one thing that I had said was that when you read the Human Zoo, I mean, you have like DAC and Archetype and Prime, and then it's like you read the Human Zoo, and I'm like, this is like some of Stu's old stuff, and this is actually really funny, and it makes you, like my co-host said there at the end, you're just like, wow.
With the first, with Mirrors, I thought I just wanted to have something where kind of you were sort of taken out of the story, and you know, I wanted to be quite nihilistic and kill myself within a story and a sense. Yeah, it's kind of, when I got the pages through, and I thought, oh, and the picture, the writer, and I thought, he's definitely been looking at my pictures of me on Facebook, because that's me. Yeah. It's really, so it's quite, so, you know, it's fun. I think it's quite funny. But yeah, I really, that's a kind of a favourite of mine, if I had to pick like a short story of mine, then he's my favourite. I think that'd probably be it, I think. Because I think it's kind of, I just think it's kind of the, like, you know.
Sorry, yeah.
That's Batman's phone. Yeah, goes off. Dick.
We had long discussions about what cheesy pop song would be sung on the pop idol reality TV show thing, and had some fun. I can't remember what it was originally. So there was me searching music on YouTube and stuff that I really can't stand, and so listening to loads of, you know, shitty Justin Bieber music, and
oh yeah,
thinking or whatever, yeah.
So Selena Gomez or whatever,
subjecting yourself to torture, yeah. My friend.
That reminds me of the story of my son. The My nephew asked my daughter if she had heard the new Justin Bieber song, and she said no. And my 5-year-old son ran in there and said, "Have you heard this new Justin Bieber song?" And he leans over and farts, and then he runs out of the room. I've never been so proud in my whole life.
Yeah. Justin Bieber, really? Come on.
Oh, the worst part was it was a nephew that asked if your daughter had heard the song.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, matter of fact, I remember when your daughter asked me if I heard something called Black Veil Brides, and I was like, no. And then she put it on my TV, and I was like,
no.
It's like, I don't want to see any more of this. I was like, please turn it off before I have to burn my TV.
As I described it to her when she showed me it the first time, all that is emo NSYNC. That's all it is. Dude,
it's like a stolen version of emo NSYNC Kiss.
Oh, man.
It's terrible.
So I saw a video at a convention of you on a panel. How do you enjoy doing the panels at the conventions? Yeah.
To be honest, that's the only one I've done. But it was fun, yeah. I mean, it was kind of it was at the end of the day and stuff. And but yeah, it was fun. It was kind of sort of daunting to start with, but yeah, it was nice. It was a nice way to finish the day and to kind of voice some sort of opinions and thoughts and things like that. Yeah, but I mean, I'd do it again. I mean, however many people really want to sit in a room and listen to me waffle on is another thing. But yeah, I mean, I would like to do it again at some point.
There's at least three of them who'll sit in a room and listen to it.
and that's three more than listen to our show.
That's right.
Prior to that, I'd sort of agree to it. And then months before, and I completely forgot about it. And then I got there and it was on a list of events of, shit.
he would agree to it and then kind of forget about it. And then as soon as it was time to do it, he would just kind of like ghost out the door.
Yeah, slide on out. Yep.
What happened to Stu? I swear to God, I just saw him. I don't know.
He's gone, man.
But
yeah, it was good. It was nice. It was good fun, actually. That was
good deal. Good deal. So definitely something you wouldn't mind doing again then.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
He's like, yeah, no. 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 If I can avoid it, no.
Oh, man. All right, so this may be the most hard-hitting question we have. After hearing Ghostface review of whatever happened to the Archetype number one, do you want to punch him in the face?
No, but you know,
just a menial groin kick.
No, not at all. No, I'm not offended by it or upset about stuff like that. You know,
it almost caused a fight here between me and him. It was it practically almost came to blows.
It really did. Like we were sitting here, after reading DAC, and like they just damn near started yelling at each other and like preparing to beat each other up over their opinions of it. Daryl was like, "It was amazing." Brandon's over like, "It wasn't."
and then it's not that we flip flopped on the number two, but we kind of did.
You kind of did. Because it was interesting to watch.
Yeah, it was.
It was because the fun part with issue with one and two of whatever happened to the Archetype was how you loved it, and then how he was like, it's okay, and then I was like, yeah, it's good, I enjoyed it. We get to the second issue, and he's like, oh man, I love this, and you're like, man, it's okay. And I'm still like, yeah, it's really good.
Well, I'm a sucker for character development. And so the first issue, there was there was so much character development that, man, I mean, I absolutely just, I loved the first issue.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
That's like DAC. When DAC ended, I was like, okay, I want to know about this other guy. I need to know about him.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, my God, that's the hook for me right there.
The question is, how will the reviews be for issue 3? Will they change again?
Yeah.
Will they flip? Will they flop?
No, and the thing is, I enjoyed the second one.
Yeah.
Just, man, the first one was, to me, it was freaking just awesome.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, when you're a sucker for character development, you know, you're going to really enjoy that particular part of it.
And I'm a sucker for dark, gritty. So.
I like both.
Now, as far as the artwork on there goes, so how did you decide to go with Stan Gravel to do the artwork on whatever happened to the archetype?
God, I saw some of Ron's work on.
Sorry, yeah, I said Stan, Twitter, not Ron. My bad.
He did. I saw some of his work online because of chatting and things, and you know, he did some of the he worked on some of the special effects site that the Hulk film with Ed Norton in and things. So we got talking and then just kind of I've got this script. Do you want to work on it? And it just happened from there. I mean, we're working on something else now together. And I think we got our next sort of six projects together. We got planned. So yeah, I like there is a sort of classic sort of look to it, although it's obviously very, it's done in a modern way, but yeah. a classic look. So because of the time setting of a good chunk of the story, I think it needed to sort of look like, I don't know, like Flash Gordon or something like that, you know. So there's no real sort of massive sort of process or anything with it. I just kind of saw the artwork and I liked it. So I thought that it'd be cool to work with him on some stuff, and it was really as simple as that. And I was kind of lucky enough that he was sort of interested and like really liked the story and stuff. So
yeah,
it's been a really sort of good collaborative sort of relationship, because there's no sort of, if you're kind of toing and throwing with emails and saying try this, and you know, there's always that risk that you kind of upset the other person, but there's none of that, because I think we both got this understanding that we want it to be the best it possibly can. So we kind of, it's a good sort of equal collaboration, you know.
So
he's great to work with and stuff. And as I say, we've got a ton. Our next one is that we're working on is more, I suppose, in terms of tone, is more in line with things like Prime and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's got more of a sort of a satirical edge to it. It's more of a funny thing. But I mean, there's obviously this sort of dark tones to it. But it's more in line with Prime and sort of the early stuff and things. Earliest.
Well, that'd be cool.
But yeah, I'm really. I mean, it's kind of, I don't want to give anything away, because if I start telling you what it's about, I'll start telling you how it ends.
Dark and satirical. You got my vote.
Yeah, I know, right?
we described the main character as a cross between Doctor Who and Malcolm Le Chiron. So I was kind of, yeah, let's do this.
All right, yeah. I'm on board.
But it's kind of, there's a lot of, it's kind of, let, it's got more, it's sort of influenced by things like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and that sort of
very cool
absurdity.
Yeah, you got me on board right there.
You've hooked both of those men right there. You've hooked them already.
it's cool. I mean, we've already had some pages through for that, and that was Looks really cool, and he's, yeah, that's gonna be fun, I think.
Yeah,
heck yeah.
Hopefully,
sounds awesome.
Hopefully, they'll be put out by Insane so I can get a hold of them here at Rick's.
I know, right? Hopefully.
Well, I don't, I mean, we kind of, we're at a point now where we don't know whether we're going to do a, as a series or a one big kind of graphic novel thing, or what we're going to do with it. We sort of in between, we sort of decided. And I think I've got a feeling it'd be a one sort of shot thing, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we are going to go sort of hopefully somewhere where people can get it overseas and things like that. That's the plan anyway.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very
cool. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
It's the echo effect.
Yeah, you're looking back at the...
That echo effect blew. It just, yeah.
Just blew your mind.
Yeah, it did. I was like, yeah, very cool.
On the archetype, what was your inspiration for doing that type of a character?
Well, what it was, I mean, the initial idea came from when 9 years ago my grandfather passed away, and after the initial sort of shock and grief, if you like, there, and everybody was talking, you know, stories about, do you remember this and do you remember that? And my nan said to me, completely out of the blue, do you know, when he was young, he was in a, so she says, a motorcycle stunt team. And I went, no. What? Like, we didn't know, nobody told me this. This is cool, because my grandfather was a typical sort of nice old man, grandfather type, you know.
Yeah.
And then I found this, all this other cool, you know, he's in his motorcycle stunt team and still all these crazy stuff. Yeah. And then the kind of, the idea, I mean, basically the story, the idea is that I think in society as a whole, we think, you know, when people get to a certain age, they see, they, in the eyes of society, they cease to exist, and everything they did before didn't happen, you know.
Yeah.
You get to a certain age and you're not allowed to be creative or have a life, you know. It's kind of, you're just supposed to be an old person, whereas we're all heading, hopefully, we're all heading that way, you know. So,
yeah.
The idea of being that kind of, people forget that we've all sort of gone, taken the same path, if you like, kind of age-wise and stuff. But yeah, the initial idea came from all this stuff, kind of, oh, cool stuff kind of came out that I didn't know. And, you know, then you start thinking, oh, what else don't I know? And all that sort of stuff. So that's where the initial idea is. And to add sort of extra sort of poignancy, when we were getting ready for the first issue of it to come out, my nan passed away kind of unexpectedly. So it's kind of got this all sort of different. So it's got a different sort of feeling for me. I mean, you know, in a good way, I guess, but it's got a different sort of connection to it for me. But,
yeah,
you know, so I suppose in a roundabout way, kind of, it's a sort of a tribute, if you like, and kind of those sort of memories and things. But, yeah, I mean, that's the initial idea, and kind of this idea that I didn't know, this sort of side to him doing, I don't know, wheelies and shit. There's no photographs of it exist or anything like that. For all I know, my nan had been on the gin, so it could just be all.
Man. I think it's better to believe that you're thinking.
That's what that was my train of thought. You know, if it's not true, don't tell me, because at the moment, you know, he's evil Knievel. That's some shit.
Well, and the thing is, I think all of us have done things, especially that we don't share with our children.
Typically. And
because you don't, you know, it's kind of the thing where you're like, okay, yeah, I did it, but I don't want them to do it, because, you know, I don't want them to get hurt, or I don't want them, whatever your reasons behind it. And then later on, when your kids find out about it, then they're like, what the crap? You know, why didn't you ever tell me this?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, it's better to believe, live with the belief that, you know, oh man, grandpa was just some, you know, regular old grandpa, and then find out, no, grandpa was a badass.
That's the sort of thing that kind of, when it, because when I kind of told people the original idea, I think people were sort of expecting a sort of grim sort of Dark Knight Returns thing, whereas I didn't want to sort of go down that, you know, gritty superhero road. I wanted to, if anything, I wanted it to be more sort of melancholy and be realistic in so much as people, as you say, like people think, you know, just because that guy there sat, he's white-haired old guy sat there in an armchair, that's all he's ever done. And, you know, that's never the case, is it? You know,
yeah, no.
The things that he did to get into that armchair.
Well, the thing is, people kind of put thinking, and you think, well, these people have definitely at some point lived through a war.
Yeah.
So that's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it's pretty. And I wanted to write something that was kind of a using superheroes and that sort of epic story to sort of talk about OP, you know, we forget older people and that they've had a life and have got a life, you know.
Oh yeah.
So that, I mean, that was the initial sort of idea and the story, you know. I wanted to do a sort of a different, I mean, it's conventional in the sense of it's a superhero story and it's good and bad and good versus evil and all that sort of stuff. But I'd like to think it's come at it from a slightly sort of different angle and things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, is saying good versus evil. Now, this is the one thing that I've kind of gotten from whatever happened to the archetype. I don't necessarily see his brother as being evil as much as he is jaded. I think that was kind of the feeling I got from that character, was that he had just kind of, you know, and it may change once I read the third issue, but at the second issue, I just kind of felt like he had just put up with enough of the crap that he finally was just like, you know what, I'm sick of this, and your reasons behind it are garbage, and I just don't want to do this anymore.
No, that's the thing. I mean, so when you're trying to create a rounded character, you know, the villain of the, because everybody is the sort of the hero in their story, aren't they? Yeah. And it's good to try and find sort of, you know, sort of a nicer sort of qualities, if you like, in the bad guy, because, and vice versa, because I think it just makes for more kind of, because Pete, you know, makes for just sort of reading. And I was, you know, and you're right, I did want a kind of people to think kind of he's the villain in so much as, you know, he's this big bad guy, and but I'm not giving anything away, so
and that's the kind of stories, I mean, I've always liked. Like, there was a season of Heroes that everyone hated. Because
I didn't hate it.
Well, but a lot of people hated it.
but that's because we're different, because we like this type of
because
thing.
I like gray area. I like that area where you know, because someone's never going to be all evil, nor are they going to be all good. And to play in the gray area, to me, that's maybe the most interesting stories you're going to get.
I think that's all.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think people on the whole need to, for it to be very sort of black and white and good people and bad people. And I agree with you. And I think it's better just to sort of mess with conventions, because it's a bit more interesting. It's a bit more real than even if it's in a fantastical world, it's setting. If you can have, you know, real characters and, you know, then it just kind of makes it more of a sort of, I mean, if you can have a realistic character, whether they're the supposedly good guy or bad guy, that's your sort of door into that world, because you can kind of believe in the character's sort of intentions and things, you know, because otherwise it turns into the bad guys wearing a cape, and it's just, well, that doesn't happen. Apart from Donald Trump, that doesn't happen.
Okay, I want to see. I want to see him in a cape. Go,
I'm sure it's been done by somebody
in a cape with a, like a snidely whiplash mustache.
There you go.
It'd be awesome.
Meh.
He's got to have He's got to have the top hat, but it's got to be like the really slender top hat.
He couldn't have a top hat. He's got that ridiculous swoop on his head.
That is true. But, you know, he's got that mustache. He's got to have that with the cape and the high back.
All right. On that note, you guys want to take a break for a minute and then come back?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Everybody back for part two. Everybody's favorite segment.
What's riding my nuts?
Ah,
All right, everybody, back again. So who's starting us off this week? Who's going to start us off on some What's Riding My Nuts? Uh-oh. All right, Batman starting it off. Screw it. Batman starting off. Okay, what's riding my nuts this week? The fact that I can't even get damn sleep, and I fucked this whole interview up because I legitimately have not been able to focus. I'm like, man, yeah, I got a good solid 2 hours. Like, being up and working, you know, 10 hours a day for the last week, all week.
Think about all that money you're making.
Oh, yeah, all that money. Yeah, I'm just getting paid so much. If I was, then shit, I guess I wouldn't be doing this right now. I'd still be asleep. Whereas I'd be at work. Like, man, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm making that money. Wow, that was hard.
Yeah, I'm going to turn you down a little bit. All right,
sorry. But yeah, I'd be like, man, I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm making that money. I got to work, man. Come on. We're going to hold the show off for about 6 months because by the time this is over, I've made $2 million.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, okay. I'm not going to complain about it, but cool, no, my ass is tired. Made a cool $2 million.
All right. What's riding my nuts this week?
So I can't even get through the what's riding my nuts without fucking it up.
All right. Well, everyone's heard me complain about my job before. So once again, on the work thing, I do work retail. So, you know, all the hassles and shit, they come with that. But anyway, I'm standing there at cash register one day, and this was probably Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't remember what day it was at this point. It was last week. This lady comes up and she's getting her change out of her purse, like change and the dollar bills to pay for her groceries. And instead of politely handing me the money or even just setting it down on the counter, which I don't like that anyway, but she throws her money at me. Threw it at me. Like,
not at the counter, not like,
not at the register, at me. Directly. The only thing that I had said to this woman the entire time was, hello, how are you doing? Did you find everything okay? Can I help you with anything?
Damn you for being so polite.
You were too damn helpful. She was trying, she thought you were like trying to attack her, so she threw change.
Anyway, you know, I didn't really say anything, but as she walked out the door, you know, I'm doing the whole Chris Pratt Guardians of the Galaxy Jack in the Box finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I don't care, I don't know who you are. I haven't seen you back in the store again, but if you're listening, fuck you.
I feel you. Oh, speaking of instances of work that I forgot about, I should have thought about it a second ago. All right. So conveniently, Thursday, somebody apparently was dumb enough to not pay attention inside of a warehouse full of reach trucks, electric pallet jacks, forklifts that are constantly running up and down all day. All right. They were like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm standing behind this big ass thing. Nobody can see me. I can clearly hear a reach truck coming down the right, coming down this lane. You know what sounds like a good idea? I'm going to step out from behind the fucking pallet while this reach truck is not 5 feet away from me. Oh, wait, I've now lost my toes.
Did they really lose their toes?
Oh, they really lost their toes.
I bet that was a bloody mess.
Oh yeah. Well, apparently, what I heard, the way I understood it was like they stepped out, got hit, and then they were like, and the supervisor just goes, yep. And they're never going to walk the same again. And I was like, no, I imagine not. Especially if they lost their big toe. They probably won't walk very well at all. But I was like, seriously, come on. How dumb? How dumb do you have to be to not check?
Well, you know, you won't need to be walking again anytime soon because you're fired.
Oh, right. Romag?
All right. So what's riding my nuts? What's riding my nuts is sometimes I'm a little too tall for my own good and too stupid to duck. So I was at work Monday and it was really heavy. So like I was actually
the building you were trying to lift it.
No,
you know, he was already from Pete and Pete.
Yeah, I was. I've been known to do it before. I lifted the front end of a truck one time. That was pretty ugly. But anyway, it was really heavy mail day, so I'm getting out and I'm actually running to the people's doors to deliver their packages and running back. And so on the way back,
on those knees,
yeah, I jump into the mail truck,
slam,
Daniel Craig style,
yeah, and just hammer my head right on the door frame of the LLV. But I saw stars, and I actually had to pull over into a cul-de-sac for like 15 minutes, and then I got out and threw up. So I know I had a concussion. I couldn't see
seriously,
and so I call work. And I say, look, this is what happened. I'm having an issue. Here's what they say.
How soon can you deliver those packages?
Yeah. Do you think you're going to be late finishing the mail?
No, I believe you. I totally believe the legitimate question.
Not, hey, maybe you should go see a doctor.
Are you okay? Do you think maybe you need to see a doctor? Do you think you need to take a moment?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe we need to bring you in? Maybe have somebody finish out the route? Yeah. Anything like this? No, I knew what was going to be asked the moment you started the story. Hey, man. So how soon is it going to take you to finish that route?
Yeah. And when I get back, this is what they say to me. I know you were scheduled to be off tomorrow, but you're working. So not, hey, I understand probably need some recovery time, but fuck you. It's the mail.
Yeah, it's the mail. We don't stop.
Oh, I don't know if I ever told this story. When I worked here in Murfreesboro and we had those tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
A tornado actually hit one of the mail trucks and flipped it upside down.
Oh.
Okay, now this is the attitude that the U.S. Postal Service has. The girl called in, who's sitting in this truck upside down, calls and says, a tornado just hit the truck. I'm upside down. They didn't say, do you need an ambulance? Do you want us to call? You know, their question was,
can you get the truck flip back over?
Is the mail secure?
Well, hell no.
Is the mail secure?
Is the mail secure? Yeah. No, these 3,000 pieces of junk mail are flying everywhere. So fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you and your junk mail. No, I swear to God, I thought you were actually going to ask, like, is the mail okay? And can you get the truck flipped back over so you can deliver the mail?
Oh, I'm surprised they didn't ask that. You know, can you push over this 4,000 pound truck
and
keep delivering?
Come on.
So, you know, the U.S. Postal Service is what's riding my nuts.
I don't know, man. Every time you see those commercials about the USPS, all those workers have huge smiles on their faces.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Do you know why those workers are smiling?
Because they just got paid to do that commercial.
Because they're city carriers, and they have one hell of a union. That's why they're smiling.
Or I was going to say they're actors.
No, they're actual real city carriers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no shit. No wonder they're smiling. Yeah, they're fucking smiling.
Yeah, they don't have to drive 100 miles to deliver an effing route or put up with a bunch of bullshit and then have your union go, oh, there's nothing we can do about it.
No, because theirs apparently goes, nah.
Yeah, that ain't gonna work. No, they, in a year's time, because of shit that went down, they had to pay the city carriers $250,000 in reparations.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Okay.
But Stu, your turn.
Well, it's not a racing thing, but it still pisses me off now. If you talk about work stuff, I used to work in a museum. I used to work on the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he comes in and said, well, first off, it was a science museum. And he came in and said, what's this place? And it's a science museum. And he started with, what science? And I was like, I just looked at him like, what? And I just found myself saying, I took the primary school teacher saying, science is everywhere. And he said, and then he kind of, you know, nodded, kind of grunty to himself. And
Stu met in here.
Was this an elderly gentleman?
No. This is sort of, he was kind of, I'd say he was sort of mid-20s, something like that.
Oh, wow.
In an unusually large brow.
And he said to me something like, how much is it? And I said, and I can't remember the price in there, but I said, it's $11.75 for adults and $8.99 for children. And he turned around to me and said, yeah, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? Yes, I would. That is the price.
You should have taken his money, lit it on fire, and then said, science.
I couldn't, honestly, a science museum, the high rate of idiots that came through those doors, it was insane. It was literally insane. Some of the people would come, I mean, some of the shit they would ask, like, you know, he said, there was one came in and said, oh, what's that? I said, oh, that's the planetarium. And he said, oh, is that where you keep the plants? No, that's a green stuff like
sure.
And the other and a daily one was, how do you get out of here? And at the and my last week I said, it's like the way you came in, but the other way. In reverse.
Damn.
Honestly, man.
The best part was is these people were regulars.
Honestly, some of the shit they oh man.
The planetarium killed me.
I like that. And you get out. Like the way you came in, but the other way.
There was around the time I finished there. There was there used to be an IMAX cinema on site, and they were showing. I think it was Brave. I think, and this woman kind of runs over to the counter, and she's got a son who's in tears. You know, and I said, is everything okay? She says, no, I want to make a complaint. I went, okay, what's happened? She says, well, we're just in the cinema to watch Brave, and the trailer started. And they showed a trailer for Django Unchained. and it was the full-blown trailer where he gets shot and the blood spurts over the flowers and it starts and I just got, and I just couldn't, I could not laugh.
Here's the Disney movie. Attaches the trailer of Django.
the full uncut version.
And it was like the full rated R trailer. It was fun.
I can picture this kid's reaction to Samuel L. Jackson.
Honestly, stuff like that used to happen sort of fairly regularly. It was quite funny.
Yeah. Like I said about that Deadpool thing, though, when we were at the theater, literally like a freaking 10-year-old. He could not have been more than 12, but he looked like he was 10 to me. Sitting up there at Deadpool, and the moment that scene kicks in, where they're getting that on, and his mom is just like, oh my God, cover your eyes. I'm like, really? It, he's just sitting there. He's like,
why did you bring a 9-year-old?
And that's what killed me. I'm like, why the fuck did you bring? What is your damn deal? And this is the same complaint I had with the PG-13. You'll bring a goddamn 3-year-old to a PG-13 movie.
No, like when I saw Deadpool, there was a lady and her husband, boyfriend, whatever there that had a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, the rating system is suggestive. Apparently. They're like, maybe you should not do this, but, you know, we're not telling you not to.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that was the greatest day of that 9-year-old boy's life. Especially when they hit that strip club scene.
So are we going to do the what did I learn from games and graphics?
Yeah, I guess we'll try this out. We'll try this out.
I'll go first. I learned that Romag struggles to not give the ending away to his comic book.
That's true. All right. Well, I definitely learned a very important lesson today, that the exit is always the exact opposite way that you came in.
Here's
what's the lead point, man.
Okay. Here's what I learned, and the episode will have dropped by the time this comes out. I learned that Brad Pitt was the Irish bare knuckle boxing champion because Snatch was a documentary.
I forgot about that. There's apparently a lot of stuff in our last episode that is yet to be edited that extremely funny.
I'm ready to put it out. It's ready to go.
Good. Have you dropped it yet?
Oh, like all he's got to do is put the intro in.
Oh, I was going to say, dude, you got to drop that. I got to listen to it on the way home.
I can do it before I leave.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, Stu, what have you learned?
That even Americans can understand my accent.
You know, I've actually talked to George about this, George Basto, and he said that he remarked to me, he said, man, he said, it really surprises me that you all seem to have absolutely no problem understanding, you know, anyone that comes on. And I said, well, I think it's because we're from the South. So we're just used to piecing things together.
So, fire up the jug band.
Yeah. All right. So got a few on Facebook. One's from Rob Jones, who said, I learned my Southern accent was absolutely appalling. From Jane Thomas, who said, I think you all need help. And from my wife, Cindy Smith, who said, I learned that no one likes Aquaman.
You are correct.
All right. Folks, please, please keep sending these to us.
That was great.
And we'll keep reading them.
Hell yeah. That was awesome. This is we got to keep doing this. This is awesome. This is a great segment. This would be a great addition to What's Riding My Nuts. So, all right, this is awesome. I think overall this episode's going to turn out quite well.
Yeah, once I edit.
Thank you for coming on,
once
Stu.
Romag makes it sound great.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Stu, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah,
it's been great having you back on, getting to talk to you. And we're all big fans of your stuff.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Can't wait for more of it. Thanks.
Yeah,
and genuinely, I really, really do appreciate all your support and stuff. I really appreciate it.
Welcome, man. We try our best. Everybody that we really like and want to try to support, we do as much as we can. We try. We can only do as much as we can. I wish I could actually had a bunch of money and was like, all right, now everyone in America needs to buy a copy of Stu Perrins. All of them. Every comic he's written.
There you go.
I wish I could do, I guess, mass syndication.
Just buy the entire archive.
Yeah, there you go. Just buy the whole archive. Just go on, buy every one of them, and then sit down and read them, and then read them again.
Yeah.
You can find Stu's work at Drive Through Comics, Insane Comics, WP Comics, and you can follow him at Stu Perrins on Twitter.
Don't forget Rick's Comic City.
And you can also find them at Rick's Comic City in Nashville.
And Clarksville.
I don't know the road, so I can't give that to you, but you can look it up.
On Clarksville, it's on Madison Street.
Okay. I can't remember what it is in Nashville at all. Too tired. But all right. And at the same time, if you're in the Murfreesboro area, you can always stop by Outer Limits and Outer Limits Comics and stop and get you some stuff there. Stop in, see Chuck, get you a box. And if you want to, or if you don't want to stop there, or you want to stop in, get some comics down the road, you can also stop by Grand Adventures Comics and Games. Stop in there, holler at Greg or Chris, get maybe set your box up there, get you some independence or some Warhammer. You know? All right. So, everybody, it's been great. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. Stu, thank you for coming on. Always love it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you.